Hey, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of Random Chatter. This is episode number 263, recorded on Sunday, May 10th, 2020, Mother's Day. We are recording on Mother's Day this week. Tim, how are you?
I'm doing well, Lou. I'm doing well. How about yourself?
I am doing pretty good. Doing pretty good. It's just you and I tonight. Eric and Lizzie could not be with us, so it was just the two of us flying solo. So anything that goes wrong tonight is Lizzie and Eric's fault.
This is true.
It's standard policy, so we gotta keep up with that. A little bit of housekeeping before we get going here. Let's see, we recorded an episode for a bonus episode, an interview with Vanessa Marshall earlier today.
Yes, we did.
So she is she plays Hera from Rebels, and she was also a couple of voices in the last episode, Clone Wars, amongst numerous stuff from Marvel comics, you know, animated stuff to DC animated stuff to games, just a ton of voiceover work. She's a great person. So have fun listening to the bonus episode. It's basically just 45 minutes of us chatting about everything and nothing in particular with her, which is a lot of fun.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun.
Let's see, if you want to get a hold of us, email, you can send one to randomchatter at randomchatter.com. It goes to all four of us hosts. On social media, we can be found on Instagram and Twitter at Random Chatter. I am on Instagram at Lusecki or Six Inch Hero. I'm on Twitter at Lou Skywalker, that's Skywalker without the E. Timothy, where are you on social media?
Twitter is Qui-Gon Tim, Tim with two M's. Instagram is Some Call Me Tim 1138, and that is just one M and Tim on that.
Okay. You can also find us on Discord if you want to interact with us on a more personal level. We are on Discord. We have numerous channels for all the different shows we have in the network, as well as some basic stuff, a welcome network, welcome to the network and so forth on the lobby. If you want to get more detail on that, you can go to randomchatter.com/Discord. If you want to get access to all the channels we have, you can go to randomchatter.com/Patreon and become a member of Random Chatter by donating at least $1 a month. That gets you into all of our other channels. We have ones for photography and fitness and home improvement and all kinds of stuff out there. So great way to be a little more personal with us and the rest of your fellow listeners. And lastly, you can get our stuff, randomchatter.com/store. We have stuff on TeePublic for t-shirts for most of our shows now have logos up there on them. You can actually get face masks now. So if you want to have a cloth face covering for, you know, coronavirus and being in, being legal with all of our state statutes and so forth, you can get a mask now for the random chattering teeth on your face, which would be pretty fun to have. I can't wait to get mine.
Yeah.
Yeah, so go there and check those out.
Yeah, they look really good. They are still sold out, but keep an eye on them. And I'm pretty sure as soon as they get a good stock back in, they'll green light it and you can order them.
Very good. Tim, what are you even watching these days?
Oh, gosh, some good stuff. And it's it's been one of those things that, as John mentioned, for those who had listened to Guardians of the MCU last week, I am now working with John on coronavirus stuff for DC. I'm doing remotely from home, still putting in like 10-hour days. And even a little bit of time over the weekend and stuff.
And by DC, you mean Washington, DC, not like DC Comics.
Yeah, yes, absolutely.
Just wanted to make sure that was clear, everybody.
I'd still do stuff for DC Comics, too. That'd be cool. That'd be great. So yeah, we're doing a lot of work down there, and the thing is though is that after those long days, I really just want to like sit and decompress, and I don't want to interact with people. I just want to sit and watch things and be entertained. So have actually gotten in a fair amount of watching. And also this weekend was cruddy here. It was cold and rainy, and we even got a couple inches of snow. So, watched, the Disney Gallery Mandalorian. Talked about that quite a bit on Echo Base, which we just recorded, and, really cool behind the scenes stuff and all these interviews and all that. What we do in the shadows, I still just continue to be impressed and thoroughly entertained with that. The TV show, we also watched the movie this weekend, which no one in my household had seen before. The movie was done several years ago. in New Zealand, and Taika Waititi was also involved in that as a director and actually as an actor. It's kind of cool to see him as an actor. He's really good, very funny. The movie was good. It's quirky. The TV show is definitely inspired by the movie, but I think the TV show is done better. It's much more polished, and overall they have more interesting characters. Even though actually one of the actors is still the same, but playing a different character. One thing of note is that Mark Hamill, our favorite Jedi, will be in an upcoming episode of What We Do in the Shadows. Yeah, nice. He's going to be playing a vampire in there. I'm not sure which episode that is, but it will be. I mean, it could be the next episode. It could be something else through the season. I'm not sure. The Irishman. Watch The Irishman today. So that's the
This is Netflix.
Show on Netflix. Yeah, it was done by Martin Scorsese and has an incredible cast in it. And it's all about Jimmy Hoffa and phenomenal, phenomenal movie. It's long, but it's really well done. And it's one of those really good mafia movies that is, they have a good balance between drama and not too much violence in it. The spots of violence are just they occur and then you're off of it. There's nothing like really prolonged with it. Really well done. I think it has definitely deserved the accolades that it got. Also watch Rise of Skywalker, since that is now up on Disney Plus. And first time I've seen it since it was in the theaters, and I continue to like it. There's still a couple of things in the movie that I'm not real crazy about, but overall I still really like the arc and the characters, and I like it as a wrap up. And every time I watch it, I notice a few more things about it. It still has some good meaning to it. Mm-hmm. Let's see, the Mummy movie from the early 2000s, Alton Brown's Quarantine Kitchen, continue watching that, and have also been, not just this past week, but actually quite a bit over the last couple of months, been watching Triple D. Lou, do you know what Triple D is?
I don't, Tim. I'm a little confused. No. I don't know what Triple D means.
Do you have any guesses, Lou?
It could be Debbie Does Dallas.
No.
If you're into bad 1970s porn, I don't know.
No, Lou, no, sorry. This is Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dives.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so this is on Food TV with Guy Fieri. And actually kind of relates to a news item that we have here.
Right,
which,
it does, yep.
Yeah, which I'll just mention that Guy Fieri has been doing like incredible stuff in this pandemic, raising money for restaurant workers who are out of work. And so like he has commercials out there and stuff on social media, doing a lot of crowdsourcing of this. And he's working with a foundation that he has worked with for a long time. And they've obviously kicked some money into this, and he's kicked a lot of personal money into this, and they've gotten a lot of money out to folks who are out of work. You know, they're not getting thousands of dollars, but they're getting something,
right?
Which can help them through. And he's really promoting a lot of awareness of it.
There's been a lot of segments hit hard by this with, people unemployed and businesses closing down. But I think restaurant workers in general are probably one of the hardest hit.
Yeah.
You know, because there isn't a restaurant around that is really doing anything close to what they were doing before, unless they were only takeout, you know?
Right. So. Exactly. Yeah, so he's doing really well, he's a quirky, funny guy. I love the show, and in fact, he started just recently shows where he's doing. It's called Triple D Takeout, and so it's shot at his home. He has this incredible outdoor kitchen, amazing.
Oh, I can imagine. Kitchen, yeah,
which is probably costs like $100,000 of outdoor kitchen. I mean, it's incredible.
Yep.
And so he picks some of his favorite restaurants that he's visited on Triple D, and they actually will package up and send him the ingredients to to one of their favorite dishes. And he is on like a Zoom call with them or something. And he, while he's talking to them, he prepares the dish. They're giving him instructions on how to prepare the dish.
Oh, that's cool.
And yeah, so he prepares the dish there, and you know, things like sauces and that kind of stuff are, they make them for him. So he's not doing that, but he's kind of doing the final assembly of things. And, so it's really cool because it's still promoting their restaurants. It's still entertaining. Mm-hmm. He has these great interactions with them, and you know, he kind of picks on them because they're like, okay, so you get to this and now you're going to deep fry it. He's like, you never told me to turn the deep fryer on. So
that's awesome. Like,
yeah, just some really good things. And he gets folks who have great personalities on there, and it's a lot of fun.
Cool.
How about you? What are you watching?
You know, it's funny. You mentioned Rise of Skywalker, and I too started rewatching that the other night, just bits and pieces here and there. And it is a good movie too. I mean, I still enjoy it. I enjoy all the Star Wars movies in, you know, various, you know, levels of enjoyment, but I don't think any of our ones I'll go, no, I just didn't like it at all. You know, it's
right.
They're all good. They may not be what I wanted, but they're all good. And I too, like you, have not watched The Rise of Skywalker since it was in the theaters. So, this is my first viewing afterward. Otherwise, my wife and I are still watching Ozark. We finally finished season one. I should say finally. I've been doing it pretty steadily here. But we finished season one. Great twist at the end of the season. It really, you thought it was going one way. And it's one of those shows where something happens and you feel like, oh my God, you know, almost like you were kicked in the gut like the characters were. And you're like, yeah. Oh my God, why did they do, oh my, oh, that can't be happening. So yeah, season one ended like that. It was great. And we're just to start season two tonight. So I am going to be bummed running at the end of season three and got to wait for the next one to come out because it's such a good show. I'm also doing a rewatch of Battlestar Galactica. I mentioned that last week and the week before, I think. So as I have time between other stuff, I pop on in and watch that. And it's one of the things you can watch while you're doing other things because I've seen it probably two or three complete viewings. So it's something I can have in the background. Speaking of background, I started watching Extraction the other night.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Okay. And I had to stop because I didn't realize it was subtitles. And I'm like, oh, I can't. I was doing something else at the same time. I'm trying to work in a shop and watch that because I figured, Tim said, 80s action movie. I can watch that in the background. I'll enjoy it. I'm like, no, I can't do what I'm doing and watch the screen. I got to read the subtitles. So yeah, I had to put that on hold, but I will pick that back up.
I was wondering where you were going with that. I'm like, can you not read? Is that like, we have show notes and you do pretty well. So I'm wondering why you
can't sound out the words to he, no.
Or did you put subtitles on in French or something? I had no idea.
I saw looking at your face and I was like, wait, did I not watch the right movie? Cause there was subtitles. I'm like, I know I saw them. They're speaking in India. What were they? They were in India. I think it was right.
Or maybe it's just they had subtitles. Damn it. I don't watch movies that have subtitles. Screw that crap.
Well, yeah, it's no funny because I didn't stop it. But I'm like, do I have the right like audio track? Is this supposed to be in English or not? I'm like, what am I missing here? I'm like, no, I guess I just got to watch it when I can actually focus on the movie. So yes. I will get back and do that at some other point. But I too watched the Disney Gallery stuff. You mentioned that. And that was a lot of fun. And of course, I'm still watching Westworld along with all the other stuff I normally watch. So, but Westworld is a very strange season. So far, seasons 1, 2, and 3 now have each been their own kind of a season and their own story. And you had to adjust to each season. It's like, okay, it's not that one, it's this one. And now I got used to that. Now I'm in season 3 and I'm like, oh, it's a different story kind of telling again. So I'm getting used to that. But it's still a fascinating story. Let's see. I think, no box office again, right? Yep. Okay. Let's get that. Get right into our news. So, we talked about this, was it last week or was this on the bonus episode we did, in conjunction with May the 4th stuff for, Echo Base? We were talking about cons and virtual cons and how things are going online. We're getting some content that you wouldn't have received in the past. And now we're getting confirmation that, San Diego Comic-Con is going to do an at-home event.
Yeah. Yeah. They did some cool promotion of this. I believe it was on Friday that they started promoting it. And right now there's no details yet, but what they have been putting out on social media, which is kind of cool. Free parking, comfy chairs, personalized snacks, no lines, pets welcome, badges for all, and a front row seat to Comic-Con at home.
That was great. I like the way they really couch this, because the free parking thing was like, yeah, it's awesome compared to like, oh, I'm going to drive to the cons, I want to bring all my stuff, and oh, it's going to cost me like $100 to park in the city, and yeah.
Oh, I was big on the no lines thing.
That too. Yeah. And the comfy chairs, you know, I mean, they're not known for being great chairs in some of these lecture halls, but,
and the great thing is that, like, you know, you have a smart TV, or, you know, if you hook your computer up to your TV, or, I mean, there's a variety of ways to do it. Presuming that it's probably going to be on YouTube. I hope they don't do some stupid Facebook Live thing. If it's on YouTube, you know, hey, you can watch it there. Or, I mean, a lot of different ways you can watch it. I really hope they don't do Facebook Live. I freaking hate Facebook. I don't have an account. I don't want to.
Yeah, I hope they stay with YouTube. I think that's the more viable solution for this.
Exactly.
But, I mean, this will be our first... I mean, ReadPop did a thing last Friday for a con at home, didn't they? Didn't they do something recently? I want to say it was last Friday, but ReadPop did something to basically give back a little bit.
And it was for May the 4th.
Oh, it was. That's right. Yeah. Yep.
And they did their stuff on Facebook Live, which is really the reason why I'm kind of lamenting that.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. But I think this is just a step towards... giving us something until we can return back to normal. Cause I mean, at some point we're going to have cons again. At some point we're going to go back to that. It may not be in 2020, mm-hmm. It might be 2021, but we're going to be gathering again in mass to be able to see whatever we want to see. In the meantime though, I mean, there's conventions that have been set up. There's plans been made, talents been booked. So, you know, you can still do something with this in an online format that we can get greater access to, which I think is going to be a cool way to try it. I mean, it may not work as great this first time, but I mean, if they're putting a lot of their effort into this, it's going to come out somewhere reliable, I would think.
Yeah.
And entertaining. Now, Tim, you said you saw an email from New York Comic Con saying kind of something along the same lines. They were, was it a poll to see what kind of stuff would you like to see online? You know, if we were doing a virtual con, hint, hint, nudge, nudge.
So they had a poll, which was, probably took 5 minutes to complete. There were maybe 10 or 12, you know, poll pages to it, different types of questions. What kind of digital content would you like to see if something went digital? Would you like to see panels? Would you like to see special guests? Would you like exclusive content? Would you like exclusive merchandising, et cetera, et cetera? Mm. You know, rank these different things in terms of your preference. And it was a very non-committal. It was not New York City Comic-Con saying, hey, we're going to do this. But it was just kind of a, if we were to do this, what would you like?
Right.
And I fully expect that they are going to be doing it virtually. I mean, even though their con is in October and that's a number of months away, but right now the Javits Center is a giant hospital. And
I thought they closed the hospital. I thought they had the last patient discharged.
Did they?
They're still probably disinfecting.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure even if they did discharge the last patient, I would guess they probably haven't even torn down. I'm sure that the stuff is still there because they may be waiting for a second wave or something like that to occur. I mean, it would kind of be a little preliminary for them to be taking everything out. But yeah, so nonetheless, they have all that equipment there. They do have to disinfect, as you said. Which would probably just be like giant fogging machines going through there and taking care of stuff.
Some guy with a couple of Clorox wipes, I think, you know, just
should
take care of the whole place.
Oh, totally. so, you know, there's a lot that needs to be done. But even without that, I still think there's going to be a lot of reluctance for mass gatherings and, you know, something really big like New York City Comic Con. That's tough. I mean, you're there with a couple hundred thousand of your closest friends.
Yeah.
It's just hard to avoid.
Yeah. There's a difference between opening up for restaurants and opening up, you know, retail on a local basis. Big difference between that and opening up to a convention of 120, 130, 140,000 people.
Yeah.
And even so, I mean, a couple of weeks ago, the governor of California had said, okay, even, you know, we're going to come up with a plan pretty soon to start opening up the state. Mm-hmm. And, you know, first will be retail and some restaurants and doing restaurants for outside seating or, you know, fewer tables inside the restaurant, that kind of stuff. And you did mention, you know, movie theaters a couple of months down the road.
Mm-hmm.
So if we're in, you know, end of April, beginning of May, he's saying a couple of months down the road for movie theaters of, you know, what, a couple hundred people at a time in a movie theater, big ones. Yeah. To, you know, a couple months for that, it's probably going to be more than a few months for mm-hmm. mass gatherings, whether it's sporting events or conventions or what have you.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I don't think we're going to see any real big cons or any cons in general throughout the rest of 2020. I think we're pretty much done for conventions.
Sadly. Yeah, I'm completely inclined to agree. I think that those things, especially when the planning right now, it's like a lot of the entities that plan these are stuck in a difficult situation of, hey, look, do we go full tilt and plan this stuff and sign a bunch of contracts
mm-hmm.
that some may already have been signed? Or do we just say, screw it, let's do a plan B, let's do something virtual and just really throw our energy toward that now and make sure that we do that well? I mean, that's a tough situation that they're in. And I think at this point, they really have to accept the fact that just plan on the virtual stuff at this point.
Yeah, I think it's safer.
Yeah, it really is. I mean, we talked about some of this stuff with Vanessa, where she she had mentioned that she had signed a contract for New York City Comic Con, right?
And then yes.
She hadn't. Yep. Yeah. And she hasn't heard anything from them in quite a while. So she may still end up doing a panel or something. Actually, she didn't specify what her contract was. So it may have been for a panel. It could have been for just autographs. I don't know exactly what it was for. I don't think she mentioned.
Yeah.
But, you know, like for doing autographs like Tops and the other companies out there that do it. I mean, through the rest of the year, they're used to doing like these virtual autograph sessions and stuff. So not a huge change for them, but they also know that they make an epic crap ton of money at cons because they do huge volume. So they're probably going to do some like convention specials and it'll be done virtually. And I think we're going to see a lot of that stuff. I'm really looking forward to the creativity because I think we're going to get terrific mm-hmm. access to these cons and a lot of really good content, but they can't just do it. It's not like watching a con panel on YouTube. I mean, you can't just do that. It's because obviously everyone's doing it from home. And is it going to be pre-recorded? Is it going to be live? Are they going to be streaming clips into it? I mean, depending on what it is, there's a lot of options for things that they can do. They can also make some things audience interactive, which then in that case, they can't pre-record. They have to be doing it live. And, you know, so then it's really cool to do audience interactive stuff. There's a lot of really good options, I think.
Yeah. And it's going to be something that's going to evolve over time. So I'm looking forward to see what happens with all this. Let's see, Dwayne Johnson and Emily Blunt. So their venture together is what, Disney's Jungle Cruise, right? That's the movie that they've done. And when is that coming out? Have they set a date to have that released now, or is that still in limbo?
There's not many things that actually have dates to come out right now. True. Who knows? I mean, Marvel has set dates for things, which I'm pretty sure they're probably going to change again.
More likely, right?
Yeah.
Well, anyway, so that's coming. I doubt
Marvel's going to release stuff when, like, yeah, there's five states that have movie theaters open. None of the rest of them do.
Right.
So I don't, Lou, are we all going to travel to California or what are we going to do?
You're going to get cheap flights to somewhere in the middle of Indiana to see a movie because that's yeah. where you can see one. No. So they've done that movie and that's scheduled to come out. They're also in talks now to do a superhero movie based on the comic series Ball and Chain. No, I never heard of this.
Yeah.
But the premise sounds pretty cool. So it's based on a graphic novel and the two characters, so Edgar and Mallory, they're a married couple on the verge of getting a divorce. And they're changed physically by, I guess, a meteor that crashes near them and gives them superhero powers, but they can only use them when they're together. I think this is a brilliant concept. I mean, there's been so many sitcoms and stuff done like this where, okay, these people really hate each other, but they got to stay together for whatever reason, whether it's, you know, legal yeah. or monetary or whatever. Now it's two superheroes that have to perform their job together or else they can't do it. This sounds
interesting.
Wonderful.
Thing is, like, I'm thinking of, like, okay, put myself in those shoes and, like, some of my exes, and it's like, no, I'm out. No superhero powers. Sorry. Fully give that stuff up.
But Tim, what if you had amazing powers that could help millions of people? No, Tim's still out.
I will find another way to help them. I will be a millionaire playboy philanthropist or something. Maybe build some really cool armor. I don't know. I will find another way.
I hear you. But yeah, this is something they're in talks with. I think it sounds fantastic, though. I'm looking forward to that because I think Dwayne Johnson's got some pretty good comic timing. I mean, he's not great, but he's got some really good chops, I think. So, and Emily Blunt, I think, is fantastic. I've seen some of the stuff she's done with her husband, John Krasinski, especially like the Omaze thing they did for going to see a premiere of their movie in New York City with Emma. That was hysterical. She yeah. plays a really yeah. good comic timing with her husband. That was awesome. So let's see. Speaking of reopening, Disney Shanghai is going to be reopening this coming week.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. This is the first thing I've heard about that's a big draw reopening.
Yeah.
Right.
Yep.
So, I mean, China's a little further ahead in the virus than we are. So they've been working on, they've been closed down longer than we've been, but hopefully they're doing this in the right time frame as far as, you know, number of cases being down, but they're doing some things in place at the park to make it safer. I tried watching the video that they had posted there that they're giving people at the parks, but it's in Chinese, so I couldn't get a lot out of it. There was subtitles, and Tim, I could read the subtitles, so it was definitely there. But I guess the state has mandated that they can't have more than 30% occupancy. So the park was originally designed for about 80,000 capacity a day. And limiting it down to 24,000 would be the cap, but they said they're going to be significantly less than that and moving up to that 30% number.
Yep. Which I think is smart.
Yeah.
And I think that it's the stuff that they're doing, even for things that aren't directly related. I mean, certainly for other amusement parks, but for things like conventions, things like movie theaters, even restaurants, that kind of stuff. They're really kind of paving the way. I mean, they are mm-hmm. the most high profile reopening that we have in the world, and it's Disney. So people are paying attention to it. And so I think right. that the way that they go is one going to be the proof of concept. And it's also going to be, they're basically going to set the standard. And I would really, really hope that they learn whatever lessons they learn from this, that they are open enough to share them with others to say, hey, look, you know what? For restaurants that we have in the park, we tried this. It didn't really work for whatever reason. Mm-hmm. So we went to this other model. And I want to continue to see a lot of communication with that. And really, I mean, I also see this as kind of part of my job, part of my profession in emergency management. And we share a lot of stuff. We share a lot of lessons learned, because even something that might get learned from an earthquake in California, those are things that can be applied to a hurricane that hits Florida. And, you know, you just have to change things around a little bit and adapt it for where you are. Mm-hmm. But it's really important to share those things, because you know that everyone in some way, shape, or form is going to experience that struggle.
Yeah. And anything they learn can benefit other people. I mean, yes, immensely. I mean, I'd rather have one person learn something the hard way and have everybody else learn from it than have us recreate the same thing and have the same pitfall.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
So, you know, this is interesting, because I know we're starting to open up stuff around the U.S. here, and, you know, a lot of people say they really need to have it done sooner. It should have been done weeks ago, but whatever your stance on that is, as things open up, I'm worried about that whole second wave of the virus thing. And mm-hmm. the more people in one place, the easier that's going to be to transmit. I think this would be a good test for the rest of the world to see how this is going to work. If this opens up and things don't happen badly, maybe there's some hope for everything else.
Yeah.
Now I also wondered how people would take to going to this, right? So are they going to flock to going there? Are they going to hold back and say, well, let's just wait a week and see how things go? They went on sale last Tuesday. They immediately sold out.
Yeah. Yeah. Within minutes. So people are really excited to do this. And understandably so. I mean, a lot of folks here are chomping at the bit to go out and do something. Obviously, there's some reluctance because no one wants to get sick or contribute to any spread. So I think once things are safe, obviously, we are going to have this gradual reopening. Everyone's talking about the different phases and that kind of stuff and watching the public health markers. So we're going to see that stuff pretty universally. But obviously, I mean, there is a desire. I mean, I'll tell you, I'm looking forward to going to a restaurant. I'm looking forward to going to a bar, to a coffee shop, whatever, and to be around people. And I think I'd be a little uncomfortable if it was really crowded and people were packed around me. I would still, at least for a while, want to have some of that social distancing. But I still really do kind of crave to be around people.
Oh, yeah.
And especially, obviously, if you're going to a restaurant or a bar or a coffee shop, people aren't wearing masks. So we're in the presumption, at least in those settings, that that's going to come at a time where we feel a lot more comfortable from a public health perspective, having to not wear masks,
right?
Maybe still have some social distancing in place and probably some reduced occupancy of these facilities, but we can still go there and be there and interact and be social. And I think a lot of people are craving that.
Mm-hmm. The other thing I was thinking about with this Disney thing was, if the capacity of the park was 80,000 people and they're going to be limiting it down to somewhat less than what the threshold set by the state was, which was 30% or 24,000 people, say it's 20,000 people on a park that's designed for 80,000 people. And I didn't feel bad about, or even feel, I wasn't nervous or anxious about going to a park and getting sick. I think it's a great time to go. If you can get by that anxiety of being in a place where people are sick, maybe, to saying, no, I think I'm good. I'm going to go and I'm going to get to write everything I want with hardly any lines, because there's only, you know, 20% of the normal population in this park there. I think it's a great time to go if you're not worried about getting sick.
It absolutely is. I mean, you're going to get a lot of access to things. I mean, so they are putting in, just like we see, you know, you go to a grocery store and they're going to have tape marks on the floor that say, you know, here's your distance for being in line. Certain seats are either going to be taken out or somehow, you know, I'm sure Disney's not going to tape over seats. That just doesn't seem to be their style.
They'll be a little more elaborate. Yeah.
Yeah. But there'll be something to be preventing people from being that close in seats. Even in rides, they said they're basically going to be only seating people in every other row.
Right.
So, yeah, a lot of precautions there. And you're absolutely right. It's at less than operating at less than one third capacity in a Disney park. That's a big deal.
That's a huge deal. Yeah. Yeah. So speaking of things that are going to open, Alamo Drafthouse. Now, I don't have an Alamo Drafthouse near me in Connecticut. I think the closest one is maybe New York City. But they are actually not going to reopen, right away. So a lot of the restaurants in Texas are opening up. A lot of the things in Texas are opening up because the state is just ready to go. And Alamo Drafthouse said, no, we're going to remain closed. We think at this point it's our best choice. There's a lot of other things we're competing with that people want to get out to more so than the movie theater. So like restaurants and that kind of stuff. You mentioned that yourself, Tim. And the thing I don't understand says, Alamo Drafthouse announced a launch of a video on demand platform called Alamo On Demand. And this is in partnership with Screen Plus and Vista Cinema. I don't know how this works. Is it, you've got to be close enough to stream to it, or are they downloading things on your device or whatever you're using? But yeah, it just seems like a strange option for a draft house, you know, a movie theater chain to have some sort of on-demand product.
Well, I mean, I think right now, at least in the interim, this is something that's going to get them some cash flow. Mm-hmm. Even though it's not going to be an incredible amount of cash flow, it's still something coming in. And it's really interesting because the founder of Alamo Drafthouse, Tim Leake, said that, like particularly commenting on the whole Universal thing, he said, this is a perspective. Well, first of all, the couches. So last week we talked about the statement that NBC Universal made that, like, hey, once we start putting movies back in theaters, we are going to same day put them on video on demand. And of course we know that, what's the movie house that protested it?
Was it AMC?
AMC. Yes. Thank you.
Yeah.
So AMC has severely protested and they said, oh, we're not going to put any Universal movies in our theaters, whatever. So Alamo Drafthouse, they're saying, this is a perspective I've often had about our industry. Certain people who finance movies do it as an investment, and it's the burden of cinemas to be a viable part of recouping that investment. We have to prove our worth. It's not a given that there's a theatrical window. And really, further in his statements, he's essentially saying that, look, the model that has existed is one thing, but we don't think that that model, with things purely going to cinema, can sustain. We know that movie distributors are going to look to do something different. So we need to be able to compete better. And we also need to be able to acknowledge that video on demand is going to continue to be a thing. Mm-hmm. And in fact, you know, his statement, he further went on saying that video on demand is actually less of a concern for them, especially in the reopening, than restaurants, comedy clubs, things that people are going to go out for, because they're only going to be, you know, hey, let's go out and eat. Well, we're not ready to go to a movie yet, but yes, we can go out to eat. We'll go to a comedy club, which is a thing that you do for several hours instead of going to see a movie. So, or people are going to stay home and they may watch something video on demand. So for a movie house, like what they did to be getting to be part of a video on demand thing, I think is really smart. It's basically diversification for them.
Yeah, it is. I'm just wondering how they're, or what they're doing on video on demand. Is it first run movies? And if so, how do they get around the streaming rights of who has access to stream that, who has the right to stream it and make money from it? Because, I mean,
no idea.
It's typically not the theater. I'm just wondering how they're getting the ability to do that. I'd love to know more about this Alamo On Demand.
Yeah. Yeah. I agree.
Movies, you know, film festivals in general are something that a lot of movies kind of make their debut at, or they want to get interaction with the fans. And that hasn't been happening. And now one more bites the dust, right? So the Cannes Film Festival is, canceled. And no, Tim, I'm not going to make your pun.
Come on.
No, Tim.
It got canned. Get it? It's damn funny.
Oh, you need Facebook.
Yeah. So the Cannes Film Festival, they are going to be deferring some of their releases to the fall, and even looking at some things that are outside of their norm, which really isn't a big surprise.
Yeah, it makes sense. I mean, they're all about exposure for new talent, exposure for new movies.
Mm-hmm.
It's not really a movie theater who's going to be doing, oh, yeah, 18 cinemas, and now we need to start streaming stuff. So, yeah, this is, I guess making the best out of what they have, right? So,
yeah.
That would absolutely be good. We already mentioned this next story. Guy Fieri is doing a promotion now to raise money for restaurant workers. Mm-hmm. He's made, was it 21 million? I think it was.
Yes, I think so.
Yeah.
It was almost 21 and a half.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's fantastic. I mean, I think, we talked about this with Vanessa a little bit when we did the interview with her, that people are really stepping up. And I think you mentioned at the beginning of that interview that, this is something affecting the entire world together. We're all in this one thing. It's not just like a tornado struck this one state and now that state's devastated and the rest of us are going, okay, whatever,
Yeah.
This is something that's affecting everybody, and he is helping out, partnering with some restaurants in the area to donate money.
Yeah.
To help these workers, keep their homes, keep food on the table, that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm. So it's the Restaurant Employee Relief Fund. So you can give that a quick search and check it out. And even if you have a couple bucks to throw at it, that's a great thing. It's real worthwhile. Or if not, order out from your local restaurants.
There you go.
I mean, while it does different things, because this employee relief fund does have money that goes to laid off employees, ordering out from your local restaurants keeps them open. So then when we really open, they'll be hiring restaurant workers back.
Yeah.
And that's just as important.
Exactly. Google and Facebook are allowing employees to work at home through the rest of the year. They're going to start bringing back some stuff. It doesn't have to be able to work from home the entire time, but for stretches of the time, 3 or 4 days a week, that kind of stuff. Maybe going to the office on one day a week, probably stagger shifts, so there's not everybody in the office at one point. But they've pushed that out through now the end of the year. So one more sign that we're seeing that we're not quite out of the woods yet.
And I think we're going to see a lot more organizations doing this. I think that they're seeing the value of work from home. And I think that there are some employees, and I think there's going to be options out there, because I think there's a lot of people who have said, wow, working from home is really tough and it sucks and it's hard. I value the interaction. I like to get out of my house once in a while. Mm-hmm. There are certain things that physical collaboration and camaraderie really have a lot of benefit to. And then there's other people who thrive in a work from home environment who are like, yeah, screw it. I don't want to do that, hour long commute anymore, or hour and a half long commute anymore that a lot of them do. And they're like, hey, I can be way more productive. I can actually be here for my family. So it works. And I think that a lot of organizations are realizing, certainly from this, that they can make it happen. And they have to make a decision of, will they continue to even have that option?
Yeah, I think more companies are going to be more open to that as we go forward.
Yeah.
Let's see. Reboots, remakes, and sequels. Tim, we're winding down the episode. National Treasure. National Treasure.
Treasure.
This is the Jerry Bruckheimer movie with Nick Cage.
Yes.
And so there is still a third movie in the works.
Yep.
But this is a TV show with a very young cast, except for Disney Plus. So we're getting a new con man, right? We're not seeing the same old movie.
And it almost kind of seems, not to say the National Treasure completely has an Indiana Jones vibe, but there's some similarities.
Mm-hmm.
This series that they're talking about for Disney Plus almost sounds like Chronicles of the Young Indiana Jones thing. So they're basically taking that same theme and doing that. And the first National Treasure movie was pretty good. The second one was all right. Mm-hmm. Who knows? I think it's worth a shot for them and it could work.
We'll see. And Jerry Bruckheimer is still in development with the third movie in the franchise. But the Disney Plus one is going to be a younger cast. They haven't really announced how or why or who, but I get the feeling it's probably going to be a young Nick Cage, right?
I don't know that they're necessarily going to go back in time.
Oh, you think it's just a new group? Okay.
I think it'll be a new group of people, completely different adventures, probably set modern day. And my guess is because they're going to want to capture like tweens and teens in this.
Yeah, they don't do as well with older stuff of historical.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So if they set it in present day and, it's a bunch of kids, teenagers and of that age group doing things, I think that's a lot more appealing.
Mm, it will be for the young kids. Yeah.
It's a modern Nancy Drew or Hardy Boys or, something like that.
Okay, finally, we have a bit of gaming news for a sequel. So Diablo 4 is the next Diablo game scheduled to come out on consoles. And it's not going to happen before they do a remaster of Diablo 2, which I've never played. I'm into Diablo 3. I'm pretty heavily into that. But 2 I haven't played, and it's going to be a remastered version. Kind of like what was the one they did last week or the week before?
The Pod Racer game?
No, Final Fantasy Remake.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
So that was a big hit. People love it, and it's a redone version of that. This is a redone version of Diablo 2, but they're saying don't expect it to be as good as the other one. So I don't know why you'd sell yourself short that way by saying, hey, we're coming out with a brand new version of this thing, but it's probably not as good as you want it to be. So, yeah, here, rent it, buy it. this doesn't work.
I was a big fan of the first two Diablo games. Mm-hmm. I don't think I've played Diablo 3 at all. I would be interested in taking a look at this. I do tend to like going back to things that I've enjoyed and giving them another shot. And so if they're going to give it a facelift and, probably some better resolution on things and that kind of stuff.
Especially if you played it and liked it the first time it was out.
Yeah.
I mean, I can't see me. I mean, I'm playing Diablo 3 now and I'm looking forward to Diablo 4, which they haven't set a date for yet, but they're working on it. I don't see myself going back and playing a game I haven't played before as a remaster or facelift version of it because I never had the nostalgia of the first one, so I probably wouldn't be able to do that. But if you did Diablo 2 when it was out and loved it, this might be a chance to get a second childhood of that. So,
oh yeah, yeah. I mean, if they're going to put it out for $10 or something, yeah, I'll get it.
There you go. So, Tim, I think that brings us to the end of the episode. Anything else you want to throw in here?
That's it. That's it.
I think we're good. So I'm not sure about the music here because, like I said, Eric's been doing video podcast versions of these, so we don't have the rights to show those in a video format. But we'd love to hear from you guys. If you have any feedback for us in the episode or feedback about things you want us to cover, send us an email, hit us on Twitter, hit us on Instagram, see us on Discord, that kind of stuff. Until next week, guys, take care.